This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Inactive ingredients. You've seen them on the back of that bottle of aspirin you have at home or a box of allergy medication you're purchasing. Your eyes zoom right by them, right, as you're looking for the dosage or a list of side effects. You don't give them a second thought because of what they're called, inactive ingredients. That means they don't do anything, right? Well, look a little bit closely at those inactive ingredients, and you'll find they include things like peanut oil, lactose, and gluten. And in fact, as a new study out this week shows, over 90% of medications have inactive ingredients that are really active. They can cause allergic reactions in certain patients. Here to tell us what to make of all of this is one of the authors of that study, Dr. Giovanni Traverso, assistant professor at Brigham Women's Hospital, Harvard Med School, and the Department of Mechanical Engineering at MIT. Dr. Traverso, welcome back to Science Friday.
No, thanks so much, Ira, for having me.
So what else is my blood pressure medication, not that I take it, doing for me besides the medicine itself? What kind of compounds do you find in these inactive ingredients?
I think it's really fascinating. I mean, what we find, and this was sort of is something that, you know, I came across a few years ago, and you know, one of the things that we set out to do in the study is really analyze exactly what else is in there. And, you know, on average, we find that about 75% of tablets and capsules are actually occupied by these inactive ingredients. And, you know, typically on average, there are about 8 other, you know, ingredients in that capsule, and sometimes up to 35. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, there are ingredients like lactose, sometimes starch, which can be wheat-derived, and so hence, you know, the potential for gluten, in some instances also even peanut oil, but, you know, many other, you know, there are over 1,000 chemicals that one can choose from, you know, to really help make that capsule.
So why do the pharmaceutical companies, if they know this kind of stuff, I mean, they know that people are allergic to lactose and wheat and peanuts, why do they put them inside the pills?
Yeah. So, I think one thing to really emphasize here is that these inactive ingredients are actually really important. So I think by no means are we suggesting that they be removed. And they play a critical role with respect to the stability of that tablet or capsule, you know, the appearance, potentially, you know, modulating taste or even enhancing absorption or even, you know, providing tamper-proofing. And, you know, likely the reason that we have some of these ingredients is, you know, for historical reasons where we've seen some of these work to actually, you know, facilitate those parameters in the pills. But, you know, certainly as awareness increases, you know, it's something that I think we're all starting to appreciate, hopefully more and more. I think hopefully we're getting more focus around what should be included and can we find alternatives in some situations.
And you think that there are alternatives that could be used?
Absolutely. You know, and if you take drugs, you know, drugs that are now generic, for example, omeprazole, which is used for the treatment of reflux or ulcer treatments, you know, there are many different formulations of omeprazole. So, for example, you know, as a physician, like I will prescribe, let's say, omeprazole 20 milligrams once a day or twice a day, but that at that dose, you know, there can be over 30 or 40 different formulations of omeprazole 20 milligrams. And by formulation, I mean, you know, the composition of the inactive ingredients. So one might find ones that have lower amounts of lactose or no lactose and others that may have lactose. And so, you know, certainly there are alternatives. And for some drugs, there are many alternatives. For others, there are a few.
You know, sometimes when I go to the drugstore and I have a medication that I'm getting and the druggist says, you know, I have a different manufacturer is making that same drug and we're using that now. That could have other ingredients in it that I'm not used to from the first drugstore, from the first pharmaceutical company.
That's exactly right. You know, and I think, you know, I mean, myself included and colleagues, you know, we've seen situations where, you know, similar experiences have, that our patients have had where exactly as you mentioned, you know, the manufacturer changes and actually they manifest in actually new symptoms potentially. And I think that's hopefully by raising awareness that, you know, there are inactive ingredients in these pills and capsules that they may be the culprit, you know, behind some of those symptoms.
Speaking of your colleagues, when you found out that 90% of the medications had these ingredients in them, what was your reactions from your prescribing colleagues to this news?
Yeah, so I think, though, you know, just to take a step back on the 90% piece, so one of the things that we recognize of these inactive ingredients is that they can cause adverse effects, and generally we group them into two groups. One is, you know, allergic reactions, or those sort of frank allergies as we recognize them today, whether it be in the extreme, like an anaphylactic reaction or a rash, and then on the other side is sort of intolerances, like GI intolerances. On sort of the allergy side, what we had identified in the study from the literature is that there are 38 ingredients have been associated with allergies. And if one asks the question, you know, what percentage of capsules contain at least one, the answer is indeed, you know, over 90%. But I think one thing to emphasize is that, you know, those events are rare, but nevertheless, you know, they are out there, but they are rare. So, you know, I think people still recognize that these events are rare, but, you know, I think just, again, I think it's all about raising awareness both at the patient level and at the healthcare provider level. And I think, you know, it's changing, I think, how we think about the prescription process and access to the information.
So let's say I'm a concerned consumer. Is there any place online that I can check out what, you know, what I should be worried about? Is there a resource?
Absolutely. So I think you mentioned at the beginning, certainly in the drug insert, so you could sift through the text and you will find some of that information. There's also a database out there called Pillbox that has some of that information. You know, but for both, you know, there are a few steps to go through to at least arrive at that. And so one of the things that we see is, you know, potentially helping both patients and healthcare providers is developing tools to just make it easier to really help identify those ingredients very quickly and even help quantify the total amount of an ingredient. So, you know, let's go back to lactose. If someone is taking, let's say, 10 tablets to at least quickly, you know, figure out how much lactose that person is consuming, you know, from their medications alone. And so that's one of the next things that we're starting to look at.
You said developing tools. What do you mean, like an app or something like that?
Exactly. I think it's apps. It's also systems to interface with the electronic medical record systems, you know, to really start to help quantify, you know, the inactive ingredient components.
Interesting. Thank you for taking time to be with us today, Dr. Traverso.
Well, thank you, Ira, for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.
Likewise. Thanks.
Giovanni Traverso is a gastroenterologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital, assistant professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at MIT. So he works both MIT and Harvard at the same time.